Monday, May 21st, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Well, we are in a wildly manipulative time in this nation's history where propaganda and deception are disgustingly commonplace. There's more misinformation out there today than truth. And as I've always said, that's largely by design. A very Brave New World, Aldous Huxley type mentality, where people are so bombarded with misinformation that they simply no longer know where to look. They're resigned to just sit back and take whatever's easiest, whatever's put there right in front of them. And at one point, this was largely the government or corporations and their lobbyists. But it seems that today, this has entirely bled over into our daily interactions with each other. It's become wholly acceptable today, expected even, to lie to one another. Lie to progress your cause, lie to stop their cause, lie with prejudice, even just lie by omission, all as long as you feel, as long as you can tell yourself that you are morally on the correct side, which, by the way, is an entirely subjective concept. How can we not see how entirely we are being deceived? How can we not see how utterly contradictory and hypocritical it is to in fact, lie to ourselves and pretend that it's somehow acceptable to ignore facts, deceive those that trust in our integrity, and just blatantly misrepresent the truth when it suits our political, personal, or social agendas, moral or otherwise? It's because those social engineers behind the curtain, the ones always pulling the strings, they've told us it's okay. They have reached down from their subtle soapboxes and whispered into the ears of the masses, "These are troubled times, and desperate times call for desperate measures. You must do what is necessary, lie, cheat, or steal, but don't worry, you're on the side of righteousness." Some have indeed bought into that entirely preposterous notion that has in fact fueled some of the worst atrocities in history, thinking that your crimes are not real crimes because you fight on the right side. But many others abuse it. Pretend they have the moral high ground so that their lies are good lies, serving a higher purpose, which is complete self-delusion if believed. Now, I do not claim to always be right. In fact, I've been wrong many times, but never, never with the intention to sway you to my opinion. In my eyes, those that do so, even if convinced by the social programming that they are on the right side of history, that makes them just as bad as all they claim to fight. I simply cannot say it enough. Question all that you see. Look to a wide variety of varying sources and come to your own independent conclusions, even if those differ from what is forced upon you as the right opinion, especially if they differ from the groupthink mentality. And most importantly, anyone out there telling you that they have the answer, that they know the indisputable truth, that they have some inside source that has all the goods but never seems to suggest that you think for yourself, is likely leading you astray for one reason or another. And what better place to begin than what seems to be the next country of focus, rather renewed focus, at least for the media campaigns, as the U.S. has actively been trying to usurp this government for a long time, and that's Venezuela. The recent election going on there has been basically denounced far before it ever even came to finish. And what we're seeing now is, despite international observers from over 40 countries who were present on Sunday and have confirmed the transparency of the electoral system, we now have the U.S. government openly speaking out saying that it's illegitimate. Apparently, U.S. Deputy Secretary of State John Sullivan, as well as Mike Pence and Nikki Haley and many others, are actively speaking out saying that we should just openly ignore the results of this election, despite, I think, something like 92% voting in favor of Maduro, and claiming that even more serious and intense economic sanctions are indeed on the way. Sullivan reminds reporters that the goal of these sanctions is to, quote, target corrupt regime officials and not the people of Venezuela, which is ridiculously hollow words, because it's been clearly seen over history that these sanctions almost entirely hurt and affect the people of these countries and not the actual administration. But that's the point. They want to see this kind of an uprising happen. They want people to revolt against the government as if it's their fault the U.S. is placing sanctions on them. It's very frustrating to see how often this plays out exactly the same way. I mean, how many times do we have to see this play out throughout history? The same exact things happening, the same exact forced color revolutions and coups to achieve a political goal before we realize what's actually going on. A great video just done by James Corbett talking about NGOs and how these are these secret backdoor Trojan horses of the government to get these things happening within the country. James said in his video, quote, "Rhetoric about strengthening democratic institutions is a thinly veiled euphemism for overthrowing the government, exactly as leaked diplomatic documents proved was the case for the U.S. program in Venezuela. Promoting democracy is actually their way of essentially sneaking in their counterinsurgency efforts under the guise of foreign aid." And we should know this by now, at least people watching the show, that groups like USAID and these different NGOs are just simply covers for the government to get in and achieve its agenda there. And as he makes a great point, he makes in the video is that, yes, of course, they do actually carry out aid and charity X, and they do help people. But nonetheless, the ultimate goal is to achieve their political ends inside these countries. And we've seen this carried out all over the place throughout our own history, verifiably so. As always, I recommend you watch James's video because it's incredibly in depth in the research that it shows you. But how long can we allow this kind of thing to happen? We just ship from one country to the next. We just came off seeing the Skripal lie completely implode. We know that they lied to us about that. We see the Syrian false chemical, false flag attack happen, and then we just shift away from that. All these things happen one after another, and we see their lies right on their face, and they're shifting to now say, oh, well, this election in Venezuela, yeah, that's not legitimate. We need to step in there and stop that, despite all the 40 countries that were there that approved, that said that it was legitimate, and we watched the whole thing. No, it's illegitimate because it doesn't suit our agenda. The man that we wanted didn't win, so no, it didn't count. And as we recently discussed, we've seen them also begin to say, you know, carry the same rhetoric about Nicaragua and Cuba and any country that essentially stands against their complete control over South America. Clearly, like places like Honduras, who have even worse records than the countries they're trying to claim are terrible, they're completely supporting because they go along with what they're trying to accomplish. It's just, it has nothing to do with the people. It never has, it never will. What they're trying to accomplish is about geopolitics, about world domination. As crazy as that sounds, that's what we're seeing take place. And I think it's becoming pretty well established around the world. People can recognize, like we saw what's happening with Iran, which we're going to get into in a second, that people, the world is clearly starting to distance itself from this kind of imperialistic authoritarian ventures of the United States. The real question here is, are we going to allow the United States, using our name, to overthrow another country? Specifically Venezuela. We've seen the way that their economic sanctions have wreaked havoc across that country, despite the fact they're trying to always frame it as being, this is what socialism does, which, you know, I'm sure plays a factor. I'm not going to get into that discussion here, but the point is, verifiably so, their economic sanctions have absolutely ripped that country apart. And now they claim that those problems are why they need to go in and stop something. It's just ridiculous. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And that's what they're trying to do again. So the question is, are we going to allow it? That's up to you to decide. Moving on to the next story coming from theantimedia.com. EU-Iran agree to salvage nuclear deal despite U.S. breach of agreement. The European Union and Iran signaled on Saturday that they would not permit President Donald Trump's deeply unpopular decision to exit the Iran nuclear deal to deteriorate their own involvement in the agreement, which is a fantastic thing to see. And again, like I said, clearly the world is not going along with their recent attempts, you know, the right out of John Bolton's mouth into Trump's ear, attempts to overthrow Iran and Syria and other places that we're seeing take place. Quote, "We have sent a message to our Iranian friends that as long as they are sticking to the agreement, the Europeans will fulfill their commitment." And they said the same thing on the other side, said the EU's top energy official. It seems they've even taken it one step further, likely due to Iranian reluctance, due to already being misled once by the United States. It seems they're not only choosing to stick with the deal, but are adjusting it to fit for the new situation, i.e. the absence and future hostility pending of the United States. Coming from antiwar.com, EU, Russia, and China in talks on new Iran nuclear deal, leaving U.S. sidelined. This new deal would keep Iran's requirements the same as the existing deal, but would increase the incentives guaranteed by other powers. This is an attempt to keep Iran complying with the deal as the U.S. ratchets up its sanctions. The new deal is said to offer Iran billions of dollars in financial aid to make up for the U.S. dishonoring the pact and withdraw its own sanctions relief. The deal also aims to pledge international cooperation to prevent U.S. sanctions being enforced internationally. That's a very big deal and a big statement there. First of all, I find it funny that the idea of withdrawing sanctioned relief is some kind of an action, like not doing something terrible to that country is a pot. It's a thing that the U.S. was doing. It just seems kind of a ridiculous statement. Clearly, not doing something bad is not an action. But what we're seeing here is a very big step, that they're basically claiming not only that they're going to basically give them billions of dollars to counteract these sanctions by the United States, but in a sense also prevent those U.S. sanctions from being enforced internationally. That's a huge shift in power right there, that we're seeing this connection happen where they're going to basically stand against U.S. sanctions internationally. That's a big deal. But so again, this just is another precursor, another sign showing us that the United States' power in the world is waning. And that's not necessarily a good thing for Americans in a lot of ways, except the fact that we want to see the current power structure change. We want to see it go back to the where people actually have control of their own country, God forbid. But it's a bad thing in a way that we don't, it's uncertain for us, and we don't know where these actions are going to take us. We don't know where the current oligarchy is going to lash out and cause more problems due to this happening. So it's just simply uncertainty, and that's never really a safe place to be. But it's important that Americans speak out about these things. Let your voice be known that, you know, we don't support these warmongering actions of the people who claim to act in our name. And clearly seeing that their propaganda was not sticking, the U.S. lays out 12 demands for a new nuclear deal with Iran. The Trump administration escalated its demands on Iran today while giving Tehran a possible loophole if it wants the U.S. to return to the nuclear deal, which I have no idea why they would want that, which President Trump unilaterally canceled last month, laying out a list of demands that Iran has to satisfy for the deal to be restored, including a stop to all uranium enrichment, which is ridiculous because they're, again, kind of meshing the idea between a nuclear energy program and a nuclear military program, as well as a halt to Iran's support for militant groups in the region, exactly what the United States does all over the world. So wildly hypocritical. The administration's demands were outlined in a speech by Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, which for the first time spelled out all of the administration's requirements for a new agreement. Pompeo laid out an intentionally impossible list of 12 basic requirements on Iran, which toughened the nuclear demands and called for a wholesale change to Iran's military posture in the region that he said should be included. Among the demands listed by Pompeo was that Iran must stop enrichment of uranium and never pre-process plutonium. Iran must also allow nuclear unqualified access to all sites throughout the country, which in regard to nuclear sites, that was absolutely already happening. It seems like he's kind of saying just complete access to their entire country at any given moment all the time, which is ridiculous when you really understand that's nobody does that. I mean, just come into the country, do whatever you want anytime. That's what that kind of sounds like to me. But as far as nuclear access, that was already happening under the JCPOA. Pompeo also demanded that Iran must withdraw all of its forces from Syria, which again is just ridiculous, thinking that they have a right to be there and the U.S. doesn't, and it's currently occupying Syria illegally, as well as end its support for militant groups like Hezbollah in Lebanon, stop sending arms to Houthi militia in Yemen, God forbid they be allowed to protect themselves from the U.S. and Saudi Arabia, and release all U.S. citizens and cease its threats to destroy Israel. So a lot to unpack there, but it's interesting to see that I think it's pretty obvious. This was just like a ham-fisted effort to, like, they know that Iran is not going to be okay with this deal, but that's exactly the point. This was, in my opinion, just a flimsy attempt to kind of regain control of the narrative that they've clearly lost, to reframe Iran as the one doing something wrong here. The U.S. is well aware that Iran will not agree to these terms, and they want that to happen. They want to try to manipulate people, at least people still buying into their propaganda, that they want people to again see the look, they're arming terrorists and they're trying to enrich uranium, you know, for missiles, which they want people to think, which is not the case, which has been verified by the IAEA. But clearly they're trying to reframe this as Iran being the bad guy, and they know that Iran's going to say no, and then they're going to come out and say, see, they don't want a deal. But I also wonder if this is some kind of an attempt to slow down the process with Europe and China and Russia, but I just don't think it's going to happen. Clearly, Iran sees the benefit of cutting out the U.S. in this regard. They know that they were a bad actor from the very beginning, so now they're trying to make the deal with everybody else in the world. So this is a very interesting step here, and I think once this happens, I think it will, in my opinion, my guess is it will be used as by people like Bolton and Pompeo as an excuse to carry out more sanctions and even actual proxy wars and things happening in Iran, which has been the plan for a very long time. Moving on to the next story coming from newsdeeply.com. No one is counting Europe's missing refugee children. Where are the 10,000 child migrants who went missing in Europe last year? Europol says it has no idea how many have actually disappeared as a result of Europe's chaotic migrant calculations. In 2016, more than 63,300 unaccompanied minors entered the EU, half of them Syrian and Afghan refugees, according to data from the European NGO network Missing Children. The same year, the EU's law enforcement agency, Europol, said that at least 10,000 unaccompanied minors had disappeared in Europe. Yet Europol admits it does not know if these disappearances are real or the result of bureaucratic chaos between the EU member countries. Even so, they warn that missing children, especially refugees, are the perfect target for human trafficking, prostitution, and forced begging rings or coercion into slave labor. Data collected by the Por Causa Foundation shows that the number of missing migrant children in the three EU countries that publicly release figures surpasses Europol's 10,000 estimate for all 28 member states. Italy documented 5,434 missing unaccompanied children up to August 2015. So a lot of years after that, clearly, while Sweden registered 1,829 missing from 2013 to 2016, and Germany counted 4,749 unaccompanied minors missing up to January 1st, 2016. So the EU is basically saying that there's no coordination mechanism capable of solving this problem at present time, which is, I mean, that's a fair statement. I'd say this is a very hard thing to try to accomplish, but then we have to ask the question, are they really trying to do anything to stop this? And I know that's a loaded question there, but it's something we've often talked about, is the idea of these war zones and refugee problems being created for the very purpose of allowing these children to be taken and sold into sex trafficking. Again, I know that's something, that topic always has a way of, you know, people just, oh my God, that can't be true. No, I don't want to hear it. But we've, on this show specifically, and many others, we've shown so many times that the idea of sex trafficking, especially in the United States, is a very real problem and something that should not be casually dismissed as a conspiracy theory. It is very clearly a real problem in this country as well as the world. So to think that people wouldn't at least have an incentive to create these kind of conflicts or nudge them forward so as to step in and take advantage of the refugees is simply irresponsible. You can't just deny that that's possible. But so now that we're seeing all these missing children and the fact that it's not really being addressed, 10,000 at least missing children just gone missing in the due to this refugee problem. That's astounding. And think about what's happening there. We just recently talked about children being used in organ harvesting and all kinds of different things. So just consider that and ask yourself why this is not a larger problem. Why is this not being addressed? I mean, you could point out the obvious and say because it's not American refugees, because it's random people coming from countries that are seen as enemies of the United States, but they're human beings. We're seeing 10,000 children just up and go missing, and no one seems to talk about it. And I think that's very relevant. It's something we should continue to talk about. Moving on to the next story, and just a quick one I want to talk about from the antimedia.com. Cartoonist fired from German newspaper over Netanyahu drawing. A leading German daily fired a cartoonist over anti-Semitic views after he drew a caricature of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Now, essentially, this was a picture of Netanyahu carrying a missile in his hand, dressed up like that Israeli singer that just won the Eurovision contest, with a speech bubble on top that says, "Next year in Jerusalem." Speaking to local media outlets, the 85-year-old cartoonist said he wanted to criticize Netanyahu's exploitation of the Eurovision contest for his own purposes and accused him of abusing the singer's victory. Which, it should be pointed out that it's ridiculous that Israel is even taking part in something that's for Europe. It's clearly not part of Europe, But again, there's probably all kind of weird back, you know, loopholes and whatever else. But I think that's the point he was trying to get across. This was clearly exploited for Israel political purposes. The cartoonist went on to add that it was not common for a newspaper to fire its cartoonist over a drawing, regardless of how controversial. He says, quote, "You can reprimand him, warn him, but firing is not a good way to take care of this." Now, in my opinion, this is the absolute best example we've seen of how the term anti-Semitic, which is how this is being labeled, is being used for political cover for Israel. Clearly, anything negative against Israel, especially the prime minister, is somehow anti-Semitic. I mean, since when is drawing a caricature of a political figure off limits? I mean, that's just mind-boggling, but we can see how this is being used. And it just goes to show you how backward things are today and how all these agendas are seemingly kind of playing together to progress the establishment goals. War is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength, manipulating the truth. And to further highlight that fact, coming from ZeroEdge.com, Harvard to give Hillary medal for transformative impact on society. Hillary Clinton, who paid for an opposition research dossier, which was used by the Obama administration to justify surveilling her political opponent, Donald Trump, and later to smear him as sitting president, will receive Harvard's prestigious Radcliffe Medal on Friday for having a transformative impact on society, according to the Ivy League University. Now, you could actually take that in the, you know, transformative impact. Pretty could be a bad impact, but clearly that's not what they are trying to say here. Clinton will receive the award as part of the school's graduation week activities because, according to them, she's a champion for human rights and a skilled legislator, as well as an advocate for American leadership on the world stage. Former Secretary of State and 2001 Radcliffe medalist Madeleine Albright will give Clinton a personal tribute.
"We have heard that 500,000 children have died. I mean, that's more children than died in Hiroshima. And, you know, is the price worth it?"
"I think this is a very hard choice, but the price, we think the price is worth it."
Now, if that doesn't give you an insight into the kind of person that gets this award, I don't know what does. The very person who, I mean, one of the most widely spread clips on the internet, probably, of her saying that it was worth it to kill over a million Iraqis for the Iraq war, which we know was completely based on lies. Very interesting to see that. It's kind of ironic in a way, and it's just humorous to see that she's the one giving her the award. I feel like almost maybe that was planned by someone who doesn't agree with this. I don't know. But it's clearly ridiculous. And really, for me, this is just a window into the willful ignorance of the world today, as those making this decision to give this award are simply choosing to push forward their worldview as fact because they feel it's right to do so, regardless of the facts. Moving on to the next story, and this is one I want to cover quickly. It's just a Facebook post posted by a gentleman named Rudy Samuel that I felt was very much worth discussing. And another reason why it's smart to film while interacting with police, regardless of your skin color. Now, essentially what happened here was this gentleman was pulled over, and what they claimed was for he failed to signal within the right distance, which is wildly intense. Just think about that. So he did signal, just not within enough time, or, I mean, clearly we've talked about how that is used. You can always say, "Oh, you failed to signal," or "You didn't signal in the right distance of time," or, you know, "You changed line." I mean, any number of weird little, you know, small things they could claim and then pull you over trying to get something else, which we know happens all the time. And then what happens essentially is he starts filming in the car after they had already pulled him over. They walk away and they come back up and he's asking him, "Why'd you pull me over?" And the guy's like, "Oh, dismissive, like, I already told you that," just kind of dismisses him. And then basically says, "What caught my attention was this vegetation stuff right here," and picks something out of his windowsill, like between the plastic or the rubber where the window goes up and down, like pick something out of there.
"Ooh. Hey, Mr. Samuel?
Yeah.
What caught my attention was this vegetation stuff right here.
That ain't got nothing. So, what is your vegetation? Let me see that. What? That's tree stuff, man. Test it. That gotta be from the tree, man. Okay. Y'all pulled me off from the..."
"Alright, hold on just a minute. Let me put this in the bag real quick."
"Yeah, man. What are you..." "That's from a tree, man. I don't even smoke. This man said vegetation on a car window. All right, I know y'all seen that. This man picked vegetation. Sir, you walked up to my car and said you pulled me over. What was the original reason you said you pulled me over?
I already explained it to you.
You told me because I failed.
I failed. Step out for me.
I failed to turn.
Yeah, step on out for me.
Sir, do you have a reason to?
I do. For me, I got the vegetation in the window.
That's from the tree, sir. I don't even smoke.
Okay, I'll test it here in a little bit. Okay.
No, you gotta test it right now.
I ain't gotta test it right now. I need you to step out for me.
Step out for what? Sir, no. Facebook, y'all see that, right?
Facebook,
stop resisting.
You are. Relax. You're being detained.
For what? For what?
For I can search the vehicle.
You have to have a reason to search the vehicle.
You got that vegetation in your windowsill.
Who has vegetation on the windowsill?
Relax.
Sir, who has vegetation on a windowsill? Who has that? Please tell me who has
vegetation. I'm going to take him back there and pat him down and I'll get this done.
You gotta have permission. I'll give no permission, no consent to search my vehicle. You have to test that before you can search my vehicle.
Negative, sir.
My uncle is a police officer. I'm not stupid, man. I know the... Hold up. Sir, you know the law just like I do.
Now, it is cops like this that give cops a bad name. This effort to distort the law, that which they're supposed to be upholding to justify the violation of rights, is tyranny. Plain and simple. The cop had absolutely no right to drag him out of his car or even any, he had no probable cause to do what he did. He was abusing the law, claiming this looks like something, I'll test it later, get out of the car, let me search it, which is crazy. I mean, this guy has constitutional rights, and that's something we always have to talk about. And as always, one of the top comments right up on the right says, why argue with the cops? Do as asked and everything will be okay. Unless, of course, you've done something wrong, then you have a problem. Which is just ridiculous statism. This guy is literally saying, just simply do what you're asked, right? Regardless, don't care about your rights. Just do what you're told and just hope nothing happens to you. And that's just absurd. I mean, I understand where he's coming from, but you have to understand in a state that we're in this country, where our rights are completely being taken away, where they're abusing our rights with every inch they can take, we have to stand up for what we know is our right. And in this case, he didn't do anything wrong. He barely even asserted himself. And the cop just immediately jumped to physical contact for failing to signal in the proper distance. So he did, again, he even signaled just not quick enough or not short enough or whatever the nonsense logic in this cop's mind. Clearly, and I think the point this kid goes on to say that it happens to him often. And, you know, yes, he is a black kid like you saw, but I think it goes well beyond race in this point. I think it's about violating our constitutional rights. Now, I want to make another quick point about a video that I saw today by Mark Dice, which shows the opposite. Now, clearly, I don't advocate for Mark Dice in any way. He is in a lot of ways, he flagrantly abuses things to make it look like, to achieve his agenda. He's clearly on one side of the false two-party paradigm, and he uses stories to progress that. But he's funny, I'll give him that, and I'll laugh at his videos all the time because he makes fun of a lot of things that I think are humorous, but at the same time, he does manipulate in a lot of ways. But this video he put out shows the exact opposite side of this argument, basically where there are two different incidents where essentially people were abusing and lying about what happened to get a moral outrage. Both were black individuals and both claimed that the cop was racist and threatened them, and then the body cam footage came out and showed the exact opposite. Now, I'll have the video in there to take a look at if you want. A lot of people have covered this, but it doesn't mean that all one or the other, right? It doesn't mean that all of them are lying. It doesn't mean all of them are being abused. It's always somewhere in the middle. And the point is here that the truth is being distorted every single day in both directions. Some manipulate to hurt those they see as unjust. Others bend it to achieve what they think is right. And some are just simply corrupt. But to all those who say we should just sit back, keep quiet, keep our heads down, they're simply cowards. Or have been so brainwashed they can no longer see that all we once held most valuable in this country is being systematically stripped away under one guise or another, most common of which is protection from whatever phantom threat has been sold to the feeble-minded to cow them into submission. But don't let them scare you into silence, because it's your voice, your ability to take a stand that scares them the most, which is exactly why it's so very important. For more information on the topics discussed, check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or one of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.